Well, there's probably a number of things, but one of the things that makes us different is our priorities. And so I wanted to share with you as we start this morning, five priorities of our church. And I put these in your bulletin. They're also on the screen behind me, hopefully, in a moment. Our top priority is not just for you to learn a lot about the Bible, but the priority is to learn from God's Word how to do five things. Number one is discover your purpose for life. I hope that would be obvious. Number two is define the wisdom to make good life decisions. Number three, build loving and fulfilling relationships in our marriage, with our kids, friends, etc. Number four, see God's blessings on your finances. And number five, to be healed of hurts from your past and hear from God about your future. Now, let me ask you, is there any one of those five things that you wouldn't want in your life? No, we all want all of those, right? Well, another question, would it be worth an hour and a half every week if you could be guaranteed that you would see those things happen in your life? Well, I promise you, if you come here regularly on Sundays and apply the things that we talk about, that you will see those things happen in your life. You will be blessed and grow in every one of those areas. I promise you that, because when you do God's Word, you're the one that gets blessed. Now, this is the last week of our journey, as Jay was saying, called Fearless. We've been looking at the fear of failure, fear of intimacy, fear of the future, fear of not having enough. Today, we're looking at the big daddy fear of them all, the fear of death. A man hadn't been feeling well, and so he went to the doctor for a complete checkup. The doctor came back with the results, and he said, "I have some really bad news. You're dying, and you don't have much time left." The man said, "That's terrible. How much time have I got?" The doctor sadly said, 10. The man said, 10 what? 10 years, 10 months, 10 weeks, 10 what? 9. Okay, that was a bad joke, but the truth of the matter is, unless Jesus should return during our lifetime, all of us are going to die. In case you're wondering, I'm scheduled to die on Saturday, April 19th, 2031. You wonder, how do I know that date? Well, I went to the internet website, deathclock.com. I've talked about this website before, but it's been a while, so I wanted to refresh my memory on just how much time I had left. And so deathclock.com asked me the day and the year that I was born, how tall I am, how much I weigh, do I smoke, do I drink, do we have a history of heart problems in our family, do I skydive, have I ever ridden on a bull named Fu Manchu? You know, and according to this death clock, I have 5,512 days left to live. Now, that's if I choose the normal option. They also have a pessimistic option that you can click on. And if I click on that, it says, "Sorry, your time has expired. Have a nice day." But I'm not too worried, because I went to another website, put my information in there, and they said that I was going to live till I was 94. And then they asked for a donation. But the truth is, I could live longer. I could live much shorter. I could, you know, pull my car out of the parking lot today and get the sides, you know, and get killed, you know, on my way home. I could, you know, get so worked up preaching here this morning, I have a heart attack and fall over and die right on the stage. You know, I could go home and be killed by a rabid cat. You know, who knows? The possibilities are endless. The truth, though, is if we're really honest, we have to recognize just how brief life is. Psalm 39:4. "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath." Let's go back and say that first line all together out loud. "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be." That's something we all need to remember. Your life is incredibly brief. We're here for a moment, and then we vanish. Let's watch a video.
Well, I'm kind of every breast cancer survivor's worst nightmare, really, because I was first diagnosed in 2004 with stage one. And I came back with my nodes clean and everything, and I did chemo, and I did the double mastectomy. I did everything right. But for some odd reason, the cancer went to the lymph node behind my breastbone, which is practically unheard of. And so it was allowed to grow there for several years. It didn't cause me any problems. And now it's in my bones, so I'm considered stage four. And unless there's a miracle, you know, I'm gonna be going home soon. And I'm kind of double-minded about it because there's part of me that is kind of excited in a weird way, you know, because I know where I'm going and it's gonna be a great place. And then, but this other part of me that's not ready to go yet, I'm too young. And I feel for the people that I'm leaving behind, you know, especially my girls. Probably not gonna see them grow up, you know. I feel cheated out of grandbabies. I feel cheated out of weddings. I feel, you know, I'm double-minded. I have this argument with myself. Two different feelings about this same thing. You know, and I feel for people who don't have a relationship with God and they're going through this. I don't know how they did it. I really don't. And I even feel for those people who maybe do have a relationship but don't really know Him. I mean, know Him to the very core of your being. Know that He is good. Know that He loves you, because sometimes it doesn't seem like that. It doesn't seem like He's good. And it doesn't seem like He loves me. You know, but since I know that with every inch of me, you know, that's my hope and that's my comfort. And I really do feel for anyone who does not have that foundation.
I know the church that this woman is part of, and I know that they weren't just giving up. They were praying and believing that she'd be healed, that a miracle would happen. And honestly, I don't know how it turned out. But one thing is very clear, that she has a lot of faith and that she also recognizes that life is very brief. And so today I want to talk about three ways to deal with the fear of death. Let me start with a quote from Tecumseh. This is found in your Fearless Journey book. Tecumseh said, "When your time comes to die, be not like those whose hearts are filled with fear of death, so that when their time comes, they weep and pray for a little more time to live their lives over again in a different way. Sing your death song and die like a hero going home." I love that quote. Don't live like somebody who's going to weep and pray for a little more time because you didn't live your life right the first time and you want to do it again. No, you only get one chance. Live it right the first time. And when you go to heaven, you'll be like a hero going home. That's what I want. Overcoming the fear of death is all about living your life right the first time, now. Living now so you don't have any regrets, no matter when death takes you. There's another quote in your book from Mark Twain. He said, "The fear of death follows from the fear of life. A man who lives fully is prepared to die anytime." And that should describe every Christian. We live fully. We're ready to go anytime. No regrets. And so this morning, as we talk about the fear of death, we're not going to be focusing on death at all. We're going to be talking about how to live your life so that when your brief time ends, you have no regrets. You have lived life to the fullest. You're not afraid to go. You're like a hero going home. Turn to James 4:13. James says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." Now, this is about somebody who's making all kinds of plans about how to get ahead and how to make money and how to get the things they want, but they don't make plans for what God wants. They don't make plans for doing what's most important. And notice that last verse. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. That's pretty clear. God has put you here for a purpose, and he's given you some things to do, and if you don't do it, it's sin. Why? Because your life is so brief. It's so short. You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And you've got limited time here to do the things God put you here for. And if you don't know what they are, or I'm sorry, if you know what they are and don't do them, it's sin. And if that happens, then you're not going to be ready for death. And you're going to have all kinds of regrets, and so you're going to fear death. So because life is brief, there should be three divine turning points that I want to talk about today. The first one is this. We're going to ask God to turn when into now. We're going to ask God to take our lives and turn the whens into now. I've talked before about how so many of us are when and then thinkers. We're always waiting for something before we'll feel content and happy. You know, when I get out of school, then I'll be happy. When I get a better job, then I'll be happy. When I meet the right person, then I'll be happy. When I get married, then I'll be happy. When I have kids, then I'll be happy. When my kids leave home, then I'll be happy. You know, the idea is if I could just get all my circumstances to work out just perfectly and just right, then I'm going to be happy. Let me ask you a very personal question. What are you waiting on right now to make you happy? Let me tell you something. You are as happy as you want to be. Because the truth is, it's your choice. Happiness is not getting everything you want. It's not waiting for all your circumstances to finally be perfect, because that'll never happen. Happiness is not getting whatever you want. It's enjoying whatever you have. And all of us can decide to do that. It's our choice. In my quiet time recently, I was reading a devotional by Tim Keller, and he's talking about the book of Job in the Bible. And of course, Job has a bunch of bad things happen to him. He loses his wealth, his kids die, he gets painful disease. And so most of the book of Job is a series of complaints against God. You know, God, why is this happening to you? Why'd you let this? I don't deserve it, God. You're not being fair. I expected a lot better, and on and on and on. Job never turns away from God, but he makes it clear that he is upset at God. He is not happy with God. And at the end of the book, God finally speaks and shares his side of things. And then Job repents and has a breakthrough and starts to worship God again. But Tim Keller says, here's the question of the whole book of Job. 40 chapters summarized in one sentence. Here it is. Is it possible for a man or woman to love God for himself alone so that they are content in life regardless of their circumstances? Let me say that once again. Is it possible for you to love God for himself alone so that you're content in life regardless of your circumstances? And the answer, of course, is yes, it is possible. But let me tell you, it's really tough. It's probably my biggest struggle because, like many of you, I too am a when and then thinker, at least some of the time. It's hard for me to be content if I don't like my circumstances. And so if you're anything like me, you've probably spent a lot of your life sort of wishing your life away. You know, like, when this happens, then I'll finally have arrived. Or when that happens, then I'll be happy. You know, one day when everything is just the way I want, then I'll be content. But not now. Or maybe you're a single person saying, one day when I get married, then I'll be happy. You know, one day when I get the right house, then we'll host a small group. Or one day when we finally get out of debt, then I'll start to tithe. One day when my career is established, then I'll spend more time with the kids. One day when the kids are grown, then I'll start working on my marriage again. And the problem is, the when never seems to come. And so you never get to the then. It's like the girl who went to college and she hated all the work, but she told herself, you know, if I can ever just get out of college, then I can get married and have children, and then I'll be able to enjoy life. And so she stuck with it, and she went to classes every day, finally graduated from college, she got married and had children, and then she discovered children are a lot of work. And so she told herself, well, if I could just get these kids raised, then I'll be able to relax and enjoy life. But about the time the kids were entering into high school, her husband said, hey, hon, you know, we don't really have enough money to send them to college, and so I guess you'll have to get a job. Well, she didn't want to work, but she knew they needed money, so she went to work, and she hated it, but she told herself, you know, if I could just get these kids out of college and get the bills paid, then I can quit work and really enjoy life. Finally, the last child graduated from college and all the bills were paid, and she walked into her employer's office and said, I quit. He said, no, no, you don't want to quit now. If you stay with us another 8 years, you'll have a pension for the rest of your life. Well, she didn't want to keep working another 8 years, but you know, there's all that money there, and I really don't want to pass up that opportunity. And so she worked for another 8 years, and finally she and her husband retired at the same time, and they sold their home and bought a retirement house on the lake. And then they sat down on the swing on their porch, pulled out the family picture album, and dreamed about all the good old days. Are you waiting on some next step in your life before you can become content and enjoy life? Have you been making the most of every opportunity that God brings your way? I don't know what your when then is, but we're going to ask God to turn the when into now. Now. Why? Because in case you haven't realized it, life is brief. It's flying by. A few days I walked into our gym, and there were a bunch of guys playing basketball, mostly in their 20s and 30s, and one of them invited me to join in, and I said, no way, I would get killed. Seemed like a few days ago I was 30. What happened? I blinked, and it's gone. Life is brief. And so we're going to ask God to help us turn the whens into nows. And here's one way to do that. Some of you, like me, are goal-oriented, and you're driven and focused, and you get so focused on one thing that you start to miss the life that's going on around you. You're thinking about the next project and the next goal, the next thing that you got to accomplish, and you forget to live life right now. Maybe God's assignment for you is that no matter where you are, if you're with your wife or you're with your husband or with your kids or your friends or your people who work or no matter where you are, make sure that you're all there. Be all there. If you're spending time with your kids, don't let your mind go somewhere else and be solving problems at work. If you're having dinner with your spouse, you're not texting three different people and planning the next day's schedule. Wherever you are, be all there. Turn the whens into nows, because if you don't, life will be gone. Look at Psalm 118. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. Hold on. What day? This day. This moment. Because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. This is the day that the Lord has made. And what are we supposed to do in it? Let us do what? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In other words, embrace the day that you're in, the moment you're in, wherever you are, be all there. And so turning point number one is we're going to ask God to turn when into now. Second thought, if you're taking notes, we're going to ask God to turn our intentions into actions. God, turn our intentions into actions. Because chances are, if you're like most people I know, you've got some seriously good intentions for your life. But also, if you're like most people I know, you haven't gotten around to doing them yet. Let's go back to James, verse 17. It says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Now, if you've ever been to London and ridden on their subway, you're underground and the train zooms up and the doors open, and to get on the subway you have to step over this gap. And there's an electronic voice on the loudspeaker over and over again saying, mind the gap. Mind the gap. And what they're saying is, make sure you step over the gap and don't trip and fall into the gap or you'll have a very, very bad day. Well, today, instead of minding the gap, what we want to do is to close the gap. Close what gap? Close the gap between good intentions and godly actions. We want to close the gap between good intentions and godly actions. And so let me ask you, what are your good intentions that you know God wants you to do, but you haven't done it yet? Maybe God wants you to reach out to somebody who doesn't know Christ, but you haven't done it yet. Maybe you need to invite them to Easter service next week. Or maybe God wants you to appreciate somebody, or to encourage somebody, or to say thank you to somebody who's made a difference in your life, or to express your love for somebody, but you haven't done it yet. What good intentions do you have that you haven't followed through on yet? Or maybe God wants you to go on a mission trip and serve somebody sacrificially in the name of Jesus. Or maybe God wants you to use your gifts at church. Or maybe to start tithing. But you haven't done it yet. Maybe there's somebody that hurt you and God wants you to forgive them. Or maybe there's somebody that you've hurt and God wants you to apologize. Good intentions are worthless without actions. What good intentions do you have that you just haven't acted on yet? Close the gap, because life is brief. You know, I was in Navy flight school. I had a break at one point, and so I went to visit my dad in Tennessee. And my dad had a business selling ultralight airplane propellers to companies or to people all over the world. And he was just coming out with his brand new product. He was actually selling ultralight airplane kits that you could buy. And an ultralight airplane, by the way, is a plane that weighs less than 300 pounds, and so you don't have to have a pilot's license to fly it. And he had just finished his prototype model. He was testing it out, so we took it to a small airport nearby. It's on the next slide if we flip to that. And I know that's not a very good photo, but it's old. It's the only one I have. And that's my dad in his prototype ultralight. And he had never flown this plane at this point. He had we were taking it out to the airport to taxi it around, see how it handled on the ground. And I think my dad was a little scared to fly it because it hadn't been tested yet. And he let me try taxiing it, you know, because I was the new Navy pilot. And you know, I took it up to about 20 miles an hour, and I could just feel this thing wanted to fly. And so I took it like 3 feet off the ground and then put it right down again. And I taxied it back, and my dad had this big grin on his face. He said, well, if you take it 3 feet off the ground, you might as well go fly it. I said, okay. And so I taxied back down the runway, took off, took it up to several hundred feet, flew around the airport a few times. It was a lot of fun. 5 years later, middle of the night, I got a phone call. My dad had been flying his ultralight, and he crashed it and killed himself. And it wasn't an eternal tragedy because he was a Christian, but it was a tragedy because I never got to say goodbye. I never got to tell him how much I loved him. I never got to tell him I appreciated him. I never got to tell him anything because it happened so suddenly. You see, the truth is that you can't count on another day with any of the people that you love. Have you ever been with somebody in the hospital and you know, their life is slipping away and you listen to their regrets? You know, I should have done this. I wish I would have done this. And I didn't spend enough time with my kids. And, you know, I poured my life into worthless things. And I thought it was all about having nice things and trying to get a lot of money in the bank. You know, all the regrets that we have. People are full of good intentions, but no follow through. And they don't figure it out until it's too late. Do what God calls you to do, and do it now, today. Don't put it off before the sun goes down. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. In other words, do it now. Don't wait. Turning point number one, turn your when into now. Number two is turn your intentions into actions. And number three, we're going to turn our whole heart toward Jesus. We're going to turn our whole heart toward Jesus. See, the problem today is so many people are turning just a portion of their life toward Jesus. It's like when you get a flu shot. You know what happens when you get a flu shot? You get a little bit of the flu. Not a lot, a little bit. Just enough, not enough to make you sick, just enough to make you resistant to the whole thing. And what we have in many churches is people have gotten a little bit of Jesus. Just a little bit. Not enough to make a big difference. We want a little Jesus. And so we say, well, I'm going to run my own life and I'm going to go after things I want. But it's okay because I have a little bit of Jesus. And I give him a little bit of myself. I go to church at least a couple times a month. And hey, that's a whole hour each time because, of course, we get there 15 minutes late. And hey, look at this, Jesus. I'm going to give you a couple dollars. And I got a little bit of Jesus. And every now and then when things get tough, you know, I say, you know, Jesus, please help me. And so everything's okay. I got a little bit of Jesus, just enough to keep me from really getting to know him. Got a little bit. Life is brief. A hand's width, it says. It's like a mist. It appears for a little while and then, poof, it vanishes. And that's why right now there is nothing better you could do with this moment than to say, Jesus, I don't want just a little bit of you. I want it all. I don't want to do my own thing. I want to do your thing. I don't want to live with this sin that's destroying me. I want to know you and know your truth and your power and your grace and your mercy and your love. Jesus, I want to turn my whole heart to you, not just a little bit, but all of me. There's a story in Mark chapter 12. Somebody asked Jesus, what's the most important commandment of all? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And one of the guys listening said something like this. He said, yeah, Jesus, I can understand that. You're right. Jesus looked at him. And he must have recognized that this guy knew the truth here, but not here. And so Jesus said some words to him that are kind of a compliment, but also kind of scary. Jesus said in Mark 12:34, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And I always used to read right by that and say, oh, you know, Jesus is complimenting him. He's not far. But you know what that really means? If you're not far, that means you're close, but you ain't there yet. And honestly, that is one of my greatest fears for so many of us here, is that you're not far from the kingdom of God. Hey, you're in church, that's good. And you understand some things about Jesus, you know, you're close, but you're not there yet. You're not far away, but you're also not there yet. You don't know the glory and the power and the truth and the majesty of who Jesus really is. You don't know it personally. You're not far from the kingdom of God. You have a little bit of Jesus, but not all of them. That is a scary thought to me, that maybe somebody here thinks they're part of the kingdom of God. Because they're not far. They have a little bit of Jesus. They're close, but they're not there yet. And that's why you need to turn when into now. That's why you need to turn intentions into actions. That's why you need to turn your whole heart to Jesus. And you need to do it now, not later. Let's watch a little bit more of this interview that we watched earlier, because this lady knows the importance of
now.
You know,
I feel like I want to be more present in the moment, because I don't have very many moments left. And so I try to enjoy every moment. And even in the mundane things, you know, I mean, that's the harder thing to do, but even in the mundane things, I try to just enjoy it even if that means, you know, talking to God or singing to Him, you know. But I try not to take anything for granted, because we're not guaranteed anything, you know. And I know I don't have many moments left, so I want to enjoy every bit of it. You've got to really have a relationship with Him, not just religion, but a relationship with Him. Because there will be something that's going to come along that's going to knock you off your feet, and you're going to need Him. And so I am just a totally different person than I was 7 years ago. But I also think I'm a lot different person than I was in May, you know, because I am starting to number my days aright and gain a heart of wisdom, you know. It's what's important. Things aren't important. Going places, that's not important. Family, friends, relationships, that's what's important. It really is. It's the only thing that you can really, I guess, in a way, take with you in your heart, you know? Don't expect tomorrow to come. It may not be there. You can't wait until you're sick to start living, because to be honest with you, a lot of the time you don't feel good enough to do what you want to do, you know? You need to start living now. Now. There's no wait until the doctor tells you. You need to fix the relationship now. You need to live in the moment now. You need to enjoy yourself and the people that you're with now. Don't wait.
I'd like our worship band to come up. Let's stand together for prayer. Will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, would you remind us how brief our time on earth will be, so that we can please you in everything we do. And God, would you help us to turn the when into now? We want to start living in every moment, fully there for your glory. God, help us to understand that every moment counts. Forgive us for wishing our lives away and thinking that when something happens, then we'll be happy. Help us to understand that this is your day that you gave us, and we will be glad and we will rejoice in it. God, by your power today, would you help us to turn our good intentions into actions? Help us to do the good that you put in front of us when we have the power to act. And God, convict us. Show us who to reach out to, what to do, what to say, where to go, when to do it. So that God, when we get to the end of this life, we'll be able to say, no regrets. No regrets. Now as we continue to pray, maybe there's some of you that, if you were really honest, you'd say, well, maybe I've had a little bit of Jesus in my life. I've come to church once in a while, and I know a little bit of the story. I've got a little bit of God in my life. And every now and then when I need to pray, I pray to Him. But at the same time, you'd recognize that you're not close to God. You don't have an intimate personal relationship with Him. Today, would you be willing to step across the spiritual line and say, all of me, Jesus. Every bit of my heart, all my mind, my will, my emotions, all of my past, my present, my future. Jesus, save me. Be the Lord of my life. If that's your prayer today, then just say this with me. God, I surrender my whole life to you. And I choose to follow you with all my heart from this moment forward. Amen.